Hanukkah. Year after year after year, Jewish people around the world join in this wonderful time of celebration. Why are they celebrating Hanukkah? Well, I want to talk about what it is that Jewish people actually are celebrating when they partake of Hanukkah.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, I'm really glad that you're here listening because we're starting a new series, just going to be a couple of times, and we're going to be talking about this wonderful celebration of Hanukkah. Year after year after year, Jewish people, and you know, it doesn't even matter if they're from a religious or a non-religious Jewish background, this is a celebration that so many Jewish people in our country and around the world get involved in. Well, I want to talk about how it began and what some of the things were that took place, some of the historical elements that revolve around Hanukkah. And then I want us to see that there is a very close and what I call a Hanukkah-Christmas connection. Hanukkah is referred to in the scriptures in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 22 and 23, and it says, "At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon." That phrase, the feast of the dedication, is another way of saying Hanukkah. And we're going to discover that what they were dedicating and what they were celebrating was a time when they got their temple back. They had lost it, as we're going to see. Historically, this is all documented. And when they got their temple back, they set aside a wonderful time of celebration. And that celebration goes on year after year after year. Well, when did Hanukkah begin? What is the origin of this time of celebration? In order to discover that, we need to go back to the time between Malachi and Matthew, last book of the Old Testament, first book of the New Testament. In between Malachi and Matthew, there's a period of 400 years. Now, those years are called the 400 silent years. And the reason why they're called the 400 silent years is because God was not sending prophets to the people of Israel. So after these 400 years, the first person to burst upon the scene was John the Baptist, and he broke that silence. But during those years, in between that time from Malachi to Matthew, there was an individual by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Syrian leader, and he reigned from around 175 to 164 BC. Antiochus Epiphanes was a mean individual. We have people like him in our world today. He would go to other parts of the known world, and he would go in with his armies and conquer them, take what didn't belong to him, kill all kinds of people. And on one of his attempts, he was going down from Syria to Egypt to try to conquer Egypt, and they were put to a stop, which means that Antiochus had to turn around and go back north to Syria and go back home. And on their trip back home from Egypt to Syria, they stopped in the city of Jerusalem. And while they were there, it seems that Antiochus took out all of his frustration and his anger upon the people of Israel, and he just simply tried to destroy anything that pertained to Jewish worship. Let me read for you an account of some of the things that took place during this time. It says, in successive edicts, he outlawed circumcision. He outlawed observing the Sabbath. He designated observing the law of Moses a capital crime, and in short, he aspired to destroy Jerusalem. Syrian troops entered into the temple of God to remove and tear away all remnants of Jewish worship. Then, under the direction of an Athenian philosopher, the building was prepared as a pagan shrine. Jehovah's house was dedicated to the Greek god Olympian Zeus. Above the great altar, an image of the mythological deity was hung, and one ancient account records that the facial features on the image were in the likeness of the king himself. Thus, in a deliberate act of defiance and self-exaltation, Antiochus thrust himself upon the Jewish people as Epiphanes, which means the manifest God. Then he demanded that the people bow down and worship his God, and many Jewish people would not give allegiance to a heathen deity. So it's estimated that approximately 80,000 Jewish people were killed during this time. The purpose of Antiochus in desecrating the temple and then substituting his God for the worship of Jehovah had as its goal the assimilation of the Jewish people and the destruction of Judaism. Now, this desecration occurred, listen to this, on the 25th day of the Hebrew month Kislev. Now, what does that mean on our calendar? Well, the 25th day of the Hebrew month Kislev corresponds to our December 25th. Now, does anything come to your mind when I say December 25th? Of course it does. That's the day that we celebrate the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And it was on the 25th day of the Hebrew month Kislev that the Jewish people lost their temple. Now, Antiochus had hoped that his actions would go unchallenged, but fortunately they were not. As a result of Antiochus going in and destroying the temple and killing so many people, a lot of the people fled. And this was true of certain of the people who worked within the temple. There was a man by the name of Mattathias, and he was a temple priest. So he fled with his sons to this little town called Modin. And Modin was around 17 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And one of the things that Antiochus was concerned about was these little surrounding towns around the city of Jerusalem. He wanted to make sure that the people there were not worshiping the true Jehovah God. So periodically, Antiochus would send out a handful of his troops to these various little towns to make sure that they were not violating his rules and regulations about the worship of the true God. So there was a man by the name of Apelles, and Antiochus sent out Apelles with a handful of men from the Syrian army to this little town of Modin, and Apelles called for Mattathias. By the way, Mattathias had five sons, and he called the townspeople out together, and when Apelles left, he took with him a small little pig, and he tied up this pig. And he handed Mattathias a knife and says, here, take this knife, and I want you to offer up this pig and kill it to our God. Well, Mattathias just stood there motionless, just held a knife in his hand, refusing to follow the orders of Apelles. Well, as he's standing there, motionless, you could imagine the tension that was going on, and seconds would seem like minutes, and they're just kind of standing there waiting to see what would happen. Well, somebody in the crowd became very, very concerned that if Mattathias didn't do something soon, Apelles and his army would start attacking these people and killing them. So he grabbed the knife out of the hand of Mattathias, went over to the pig, and killed it, hoping that this would appease Apelles. Well, this so infuriated Mattathias that he killed the person who took the knife out of his hand and killed the pig. And it was like a magnet that just drew all of the townspeople together, and they jumped upon Apelles and his small band of the Syrian army and killed them. And they got together and they decided, we're going to go against Antiochus Epiphanes, run him out of town, and get our temple back. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. They got together, they went against Antiochus Epiphanes, who was in Jerusalem, ran them out, and they got their temple back. And you know what? They got it back exactly 3 years to the day when they lost it. What day did they lose it on? They lost it on December 25th, Kislev 25. That's the exact day that they got it back on. Isn't that a coincidence? No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think we're going to be able to see the hand of God in this whole thing. Well, there's a book that records some of these events, and it's found in a book that is not part of the Bible. It's a historical book, and there are some people that actually think that it actually does belong in the Bible, but it's part of what is called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha are historical books. They're not actually part of the 66 books of the Bible, but in 1 Maccabees, it actually records an account of what took place when the Jewish people got their temple back from Antiochus Epiphanes. Let me explain something first before I read this historical account. We don't really have a building that would resemble the temple of God. There was only one temple that the Jewish people could go to. If they didn't like something at this particular temple, they says, come on, we're leaving this one and we're going to the one around the block, like some people do today with churches. You know, there was only one temple. And when the Jewish people lost their temple, they lost the ability to worship God as they were instructed to do. So this building to the Jewish people was absolutely monumental and their thinking. So for them to lose it, it would even be more for us than if we were to lose our church building, because we could use a temporary building. They couldn't use a temporary building. Things had to be just so, according to the way God instructed them to build everything, as we read about in the Old Testament. So I wanted to explain that to you, that the temple to the Jewish people was more than just like one of our church buildings. It was a very, very important building. Well, listen what it says in this account in the book of 1 Maccabees, and I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 4. It says, now on the 5th and 20th day of the 9th month, which is called the month of Kislev, it says, they rose up between times in the morning, and they offered sacrifices according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings, which they had made. Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising the God of heaven, who had given them good success. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days. Now that's very significant, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, this idea of 8 days. And it says they offered burnt offerings with gladness, and they sacrificed the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. They decked also the forefront of the temple with crowns of gold and with shields, and the gates and the chambers they renewed, and they hanged doors upon them. Thus there was a very great gladness among the people, for that the reproach of the heathen was put away. Moreover, Judas and his brothers, with the whole congregation of Israel, ordained that the days of the dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days. And this is what they did with great gladness. That comes from 1 Maccabees chapter 4. And as I said, 1 Maccabees is not a book that we find in our Bible, but it is a historical account of what took place. And you could only imagine when the Jewish people got their temple back from Antiochus Epiphanes, how joyous and how happy and how glad they were. They had an 8-day celebration. Very, very interesting. Now, let me explain a little bit on how Jewish people today celebrate Hanukkah. Maybe you've seen a menorah. There was a menorah in the temple But the Hanukkah menorah is a little bit different than the menorah that was found in the time when they celebrate Hanukkah. The menorah in the temple had seven branches. A Hanukkah menorah has nine places for candles on it. And there's one special place on the Hanukkah menorah it's usually either set to the side, or it's elevated in some way, or it's right in the very middle. And that special place has a candle that has a name to it. And the candle that sits in that special place on the Hanukkah menorah is called the servant candle, or the Shamus candle. And on the first day of Hanukkah, they'll take a candle and put it in that one special place, and then they'll put another candle in one of the places that are just the regular spots. And there's eight of those. As I said, there's nine places on a Hanukkah menorah for candles. So on the first day of Hanukkah, there will be one candle plus the servant candle. On the third day of Hanukkah, there will be three candles representing one for each day. Again, the other candle would be the servant candle. And here's how they light the Hanukkah menorah. They take the servant candle and they light it. And with the servant candle, they light the other candles that represents each day. On the eighth day of Hanukkah, there would be eight candles, one representing each day, plus the servant candle. And we're going to talk about those candles and those lights and when those came about as well. And as I said, I can remember as a child growing up, and we would celebrate Hanukkah. We would get our menorah out, and I had memorized the prayer. When you light the Hanukkah menorah, there's a Jewish prayer that you say. I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. I remember it from a child. It says, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kedishanu b'mitzvasov, tivitzivenu lahadlak ner shel Hanukkah. And you say that prayer when you're lighting the Hanukkah menorah. And then you sit down and you play a game called dreidel. And a dreidel is like a little spinning top, and it has four sides to it. And on each side, it has a Hebrew letter that represents something. And everybody is given a little pile of chocolate gold coins called Hanukkah gilt. It's a Yiddish word for like money, play money. Chocolate coins covered with the gold foil. And as you spin the top, depending upon which Hebrew letter it lands on, it will let you know what you have to do. If you land on one of them, it says you might be able to take one of those little gold coins out of the pot. If you land on another one, you might have to put some back in. So you're trying to land on the right one as you're spinning the top to try to get as many gold coins as you can. Just a fun game that children play. And then there's also some very traditional food that Jewish people make during Hanukkah. And they call them potato latkes. You might know them as potato pancakes. And they're really, really good. Wonderful, good recipes. You could probably find some on the internet. And you eat them with, some people use sour cream and applesauce. And these are some of the very, very traditional things that Jewish people do during Hanukkah. Why are they celebrating Hanukkah? It goes back to the time when they got their temple back. Remember, it was taken from them by Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the Syrian leader who was on his way down to Egypt to try to conquer them. And while he was there, he was put to a stop. And on his way back to Jerusalem, he was so frustrated, he was so angry, he vented his anger and his vengeance on being stopped from trying to conquer Egypt upon the Jewish people, and went into their temple and desecrated it. One of the things he did was he actually offered a small pig on the altar of God, desecrating the temple. It was a horrible time for the Jewish people. And for 3 years, they were without a means of worshiping God the way they were instructed to do so in the Old Testament. And then, as a result of a small group of men getting together, Mattathias and his sons, they went against one of the people in the Syrian army, Apelles, overcame him and his small band of men, and went down and drove Antiochus out, and they got their temple back. Now you know why Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah. It's the regaining of their temple. It's the time when they were able to rededicate this building that was so meaningful to them. That's why it says in John chapter 10, verse 22, at the time of the Feast of the Dedication. That's another name for Hanukkah. They rededicated their temple. They cleaned it up. They tore all of the heathen memorabilia down, the image of the king himself, tore all of those things down, and they began rebuilding the things the way that they were supposed to be so they could once again be able to worship God according to the scriptures. Well, there's a tradition that has come to the surface as a result of this little supposed jar of oil that was found during the time of cleanup. Remember, they went in and they had to clean up the whole temple after Antiochus had taken it over. And in our next lesson together, I'm going to talk about this little jar of oil that was supposed to have been found. Actually, we're going to discover this was a tradition. This is a tradition that has developed, but the Jewish people believe it. If you were to ask a Jewish person today, why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? The reason why they say that they celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, it goes back to this tradition about this little jar of oil that supposedly was found. They said that this little jar of oil, which was consecrated oil, the kind of oil that could be used in the lighting of the temple menorah, not the Hanukkah menorah, there was no such thing at this time, but there was a menorah, a temple menorah that had the 7 branches, and you needed a certain kind of oil. And they said that there was only enough oil in this little jar to last for 1 day. But they lit it, and it miraculously, supposedly, lasted for 8 days, giving them time enough to make some new oil. Well, that's a tradition. That's a legend. And that's why, if you were to ask a Jewish person today, why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? They'll go back to this tradition of, well, we found this little jar of oil that was only enough to last for 1 day, and it miraculously lasted for 8 days. Well, in our next time together, we're going to talk more about the Hanukkah lights. When did the menorah come into play? Jewish people, year after year after year, the major celebration of Hanukkah is lighting the Hanukkah menorah. So we need to try to discover, when did this come into play? And why do the Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? They think it's because of the little jar of oil. But if you remember what I read in that account in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, it told us specifically that they set the time of celebration for a space of 8 days. Why did they set it for 8 days? They just set it for 8 days. That's what it says here in 1 Maccabees chapter 4. And again, this is just a historical account. Doesn't mention anything here about finding a jar of oil. Doesn't mention anything about this jar of oil miraculously lasting for 8 days. That's all a legend, as even one honest Jewish historian is going to tell us as I talk about that next time together. But they celebrated for 8 days because that's the length in which they chose to celebrate the rededicating of the temple. Well, that's what Hanukkah is all about, but there's so much more, and we're going to talk about that next time. And if you would, write to us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Or you can web onto our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org, and there's all kinds of information, teaching, questions and answers that we have on the website that will certainly help you. Books, videos, tapes that will assist you in witnessing effectively to your Jewish acquaintances. Well, next time you meet a Jewish friend during the time of Hanukkah, make sure you wish them a happy Hanukkah. And you might even want to tell them that you know a little bit about why they're celebrating this wonderful, wonderful time. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you.
Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. We are a listener-supported ministry and would appreciate your financial gifts to help in this outreach. Your gift in any amount is tax-deductible and can be sent to MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.